Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Begin, I think it's 6 weeks. I don't know how long it is. Sometimes I look at the calendar and I go, I don't know. So I think it's 6 weeks I have to preach on the book of Joshua. We'll not preach the entire book, but we'll preach certain chapters and certain verses of Joshua, and we'll look through this amazing book. And the subject that we're going to cover is living in victory. Living in victory. And tonight we'll talk about the preparation for victory, getting prepared for victory. And Joshua chapter 1 is it's 3 days prior to them crossing into the promised land. They're making the preparations to enter into this land. And I'll say a few things before we get started, is that faith produces victory. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 tells us that faith produces victory. If you're ever going to live a life that is a life of victory. By the way, all of us, if we were have a show of hands tonight, we would all say none of us want to live a... If I said, hey, anybody here want to live a defeated life? I don't think anybody in here would say, man, I hope I do. But how many of us could raise our hand and say we've lived parts of our life defeated? Whether, by the way, sometimes we're defeated by the devil, sometimes we're just defeated by ourselves. Ourselves, Michael Wiggins a lot of times causes Michael Wiggins to live a life of defeat. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of that. I don't want to live that way. I want to live in victory. And by the way, I understand not every day is going to be a victory, but I'll say this and I'll probably say it later, is that we ought to be headed toward victory. Maybe today is not the day of victory in this certain battle that you're in, but we're headed toward victory. We're in preparation of victory. By the way, just because you set out to in your life to live a life of victory and you get defeated, don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. You get back up and you go again and you try to live that life of victory. Biblically, the land of Jordan is not a picture of heaven. It's not a picture of crossing over into heaven. And there are several reasons why that is. But Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that crossing over the Jordan into the promised land was a place of rest. But also that it was not just a place of rest, not that they went over Canaan land and they all laid down and went to sleep for the next 800 years. That's not what happened. That's a place of spiritual rest. In other words, they, for 440 years we'll look at tonight, they have been in slavery and in the wilderness. 400 years they were in slavery and bondage in Egypt, and then they were 40 years in the wilderness. And so 440 years have surpassed before they enter into the land that was promised to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 22, somewhere along in there, maybe further back than that. But we see that it was a land that was promised to them, that God said, I'll give wherever your feet they touch, I'm going to give you this land. This land, if you look it up, it's about 60,000 square miles of land mass. Now you say, how big is that? Well, I had to look it up myself. To give a comparison, the state of Georgia is 59,000 and some 420 square miles. So if you look at the state of Georgia, that was how big the landmass would have been, that they're going into basically a state and conquering and inhabiting this land that God has given them. Now let's look at verse 1, if you will. Verse 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, notice this next statement, Moses' minister, saying, now that word minister just simply means another word for servant. Matter of fact, there's two other times that he's called Moses' servant. Now notice verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou. Now look at this next part. This part will be important in about 2 weeks. All this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The promised land was kind of like this. If there was a table up here tonight, and there was a five-course meal, okay, let's make it six course. I don't know what the six course could be, but we'll make up some two desserts. That would be a great meal.
There was a 6-course meal up here and prepared. The table has been set. The chairs are there. The food has been paid for. All I say is that come and dine. All you have to do is come and sit at the table to partake of this meal. That's what God had been doing to the children of Israel for 400 years, 440 years, had been begging them to come to the land and possess it. And this is your land. You don't have to do anything but go in and possess it. And they failed to do that because of a lack of faith. By the way, the lack of faith in our life causes a lot of defeat, doesn't it? Michael Wiggins included. Michael Wiggins, a lot of times, I know what to do, but I failed to do it because I failed to believe God can do it. And through this tonight, I want to prove to you through the Word of God that you can live a life of victory. And you can't skip parts of this. You got to start the preparation process. By the way, you just don't jump into something. By the way, you ever done that and got into it and you go, what just happened? I like to prepare myself for things. It seems like I go in a lot better when I'm prepared. And so tonight we'll talk about the preparation for victory. After we pray, Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's perfect and inerrant. And Father, I pray tonight that through the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to your people. I pray that you would, Lord, just open up the hearts, God, that are calloused. I pray that you would open up the hearts that, Lord, that you need to speak to tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just use me as a tool, an instrument in your hand. And I pray that you would get glory and honor for what's said and what's done. And we do give you the honor and the glory. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look. I'll give you three things tonight. I know y'all can't believe that. But I'm going to give you three things that are in this scripture that are the preparation living a life in victory. Notice verse 3. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that I have given. That means I already done it. And notice what he says. He keeps going. He says, I've given unto you, and I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river of the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, that shall be your coast. Verse 5, I want you to notice verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's a promise. And this is where faith comes in. When God says there shall not be one person, there shall not be one man that will be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life, then Joshua should have went, all right. When God says, Michael Wiggins, this is what I want you to do in your life, and I'm going to be with you, I'm not going to forsake you, I should say, all right. Yes, sir. Notice what the rest of the verse says. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. See, the problem in life is not when God fails us, but when we fail God. Because God said, I'll never fail you. By the way, God has never failed anybody here tonight. By the way, there's people in this world that feel like God has failed them. We have the questions all the time, you know, why did God do this? Why did He take my loved one away? God didn't fail you in doing that. God didn't fail you in sickness that you're in. God didn't fail you in things that you're going through in your life. The problem that happens in our life, we don't see the working of God. We don't see how He's working. And when we don't see how He's working, that is an indicator that our faith meter is on empty. Isn't that true? Don't you hate to get in your car? Actually, let's just be honest. I never get in my car and it's on empty. It's usually two other people that drive in our house. If you ever get in a Crawford vehicle, that vehicle, Abby will amen this, it's always on empty. Pastor's like, sure you can use my truck. Yeah. I got to go to the gas station and fill it up because it's on empty. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything with a vehicle that's on empty. And Pastor's famous statement is, it's not sputtering yet. You know, you still got a little while. I'm like, woo, Lord. I don't have that great of faith when it comes to trusting in vehicles. But we serve a risen Savior. We serve a powerful Savior. We serve an eternal Savior. And we ought to put our faith in Him. So how do we get this preparation for victory? Number one, I want to show you some things that God has done. Number one, God ensures us about victory. God ensures us about victory. Verse 5 again, look at it with me. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He's ensuring Joshua that, Joshua, all the days of your life. Now, by the way, study this out, because when Joshua went off the scene, guess what happened? The children of Israel began to fail. Read the book of Judges. Men began to do that which was right in their own eyes. God was making a promise to Joshua. He said, Joshua, all the days of thy life. Now notice what he says here. He says, and as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He was giving him assurance. He was ensuring him, Joshua, you can go on in victory. Joshua, you can live a life of victory. Why? Because I'm with you. By the way, God doesn't lose. And if you live with God, you're not on the losing side. You're on the winning side. It's the time that Michael Wiggins steps out and says, I got this. That I go, and it's not just like this. You know? I mean, when I crash and burn good. And why is that? Because I try to step out on my own and say, all right, everything has been working out great, and I begin to lose faith in my Lord. By the way, sometimes we lose faith when God seems to be silent in our life. You ever had those days? Some of y'all are looking at me like you've never had these days. You ever looked around and go, hello? Hello? You ever thought your family was at the house? You didn't realize that they'd already left? And you come out and you're like, hello? Where are you at? That's a horrifying feeling, isn't it? Or you get in the car and you have three kids you know of, and you realize you only have two in the vehicle. Where's that third one at? That is a horrifying feeling, isn't it? To feel that you've lost something. And in life, we can begin to lose our faith. We can begin to see the symptoms in our life. But how do we regain that faith? How do we regain that preparation for victory? Well, we must remember that God has ensured us that we can live a life of victory. In Deuteronomy 31:23, and God gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee. Now here's what he said, and I will be with thee. Hallelujah. I like the Lord being with me. By the way, if he's with me and I'm with him, I'm living in a life of victory. Because he has assured me that in his presence there is victory. Not that there's not going to be storms, not that there's not going to be trials, but there are going to be victories in my life. And I hate to say this, is that the older we get in the Lord, the more victories we ought to see. We ought to be able to see victory after victory when you get down and you pray for something and God answers that. And that's a victory that God has given you. When you pray for that job and God gives you maybe not a certain job, but you're praying for a job and God gives you the right job, man, that's a victory. When you face a time of temptation or trial and you come through that and your family's better for it and you're better for it, that's a victory. There's people tonight that are still stuck in their first storm. And that was 20 years ago. By the way, the children of Israel were stuck in a storm for 40 years in the wilderness. They were stuck in their first trial. They had just crossed over the Red Sea parted. They crossed over and said, then the Red Sea closed again. They went, woohoo, we won victory. They went just a little ways a day into this. Said, we sure are thirsty. They said, well, here's the waters of Marah. They go down and guess what they did? They begin to murmur and complain about the Lord. Lord, you brought us out here to kill us. We're all going to die. We're only a day into this thing. 3 days into this thing, they're cursing Moses and Aaron, saying, I wish we could go back to Egypt where we had the leeks and the cucumbers and all those things. We're starving to death. You know what began to happen to the children of Israel? Their faith began to fail. And when your faith begins to fail, you forget that God has ensured you that's your land. That's your victory. Just go inhabit it. Number two, God encourages us to live in victory. God encourages us to live in victory. Notice verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage. By the way, if you're going to live in victory, you're going to need two things. Strength, be strong. Not like me. Buff, I mean, yeah, right. Not physical strength, right? If that was true, there's a bunch of us that would fail. Right? But we need what? The strength of the Lord. We need His strength. And then notice what He says, courage. Why are you going to need courage? Because you're going to face things. You're going to face the Jerichos. You're going to face Ai. You're going to face all the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites. You're going to face those. You're going to need to be strong in the Lord. But you're going to have courage. What does courage do? It takes you beyond fear. Hello? Courage takes you beyond fear. And the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Why? What do I have to fear? The Bible says we ought to fear Him who can take away the soul. Right? Not just... By the way, there's so many people today, they fear every little thing. Oh, I'm just scared if I begin to teach a class. I fear I'm going to... Huh? What? I want to tie, but I just fear... What? I want to do something for the Lord, but I just fear... What? You want to live a life defeated, is what you're saying, and not a life of victory. God has instructed us and encouraged us to live a life of victory. He told Joshua, He said, be strong and of a good courage. There's a bad courage. You know what bad courage is? We call it cockiness. You know what cockiness gets you in Christian life? Knocked down. Doesn't it? You ever hear somebody say, I got this? Then they come back to you with blood on their face and say, I don't think I got this. They got strawberries on the back of their, you know, on the legs. I mean, they're not real strawberries, but you know, the scrapes. I don't know, they might have been fighting a strawberry bush somewhere. That'd be good too. We could help them out with that one. Notice what else he says. He says in verse 7, notice what he says. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observest to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God was telling Joshua, He said, go forward. Notice what He says in verse 9. He says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He told him again. He's trying to encourage Joshua. Listen, I don't know if Joshua was timid about this or what, but God was just encouraging him that, Joshua, you can go on and live in victory. Why? Because I'm with you. Notice verse 18. Turn over to verse 18. The Bible says, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all the commandments of him, he says he will be put to death. But notice what he tells him again. Only be strong and of a good courage. God was encouraging Joshua to live in victory. He tells him that again in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 and verse 23. He tells him, he says, be strong and of a good courage. He says, be strong and of a good courage. He said in the last part of Deuteronomy 31, 23, he says, I will be with thee. I don't know about you. If the biggest and baddest person is with me, we're going to be all right. Because there's nobody bigger than God. And there's nobody that can defeat God. Somebody say amen. There's nobody that can overcome my God. There's nobody that's going to discourage my God. There's nobody that's going to get Him off of His course. There's nobody that's going to overcome Him in any way. So if I'm with Him and He says, I will be with thee, we're going to be all right. We'll just keep going. We'll just keep going forward in victory. Why? Because He said, I'll be with you. But listen, there is a hinging motion on this. The hinging motion is, Why will he be with you? Well, the hinging motion is verse 7 and verse 8. It's called obedience. As long as you obey and follow me by faith, I will be with you. But notice what he says. He says, only be thou very strong and very courageous, thou mayest, verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. He said, turn not from it to the right nor to the left. He said, that. That word that is saying, because of what I just said, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then he said in verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, he says, I want you to think on this. Don't be hasty to speak it and not do it. But he says, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For, notice that next word, then. After you have observed the word of God, after you have remembered the things that I've given to Moses, he said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We think just because we get saved, God should give us good success. We think that God should be like Psalm 1, he is planted by the tree that's planted by the rivers of water shall prosper in his way, that he should bring forth his fruit in his season. We think just because we're saved, God ought to just pour His blessings on us. But God pours His blessings and puts victory in our life because we obey Him through faith. Remember, faith produces victory. By the way, I see a lot of discouraged Christians. Have you ever met somebody who's been out of church for any length of time and go to them and say, man, God's been good to me? It's usually this. Blooms despair, this agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it were for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Blooms, despair, this agony on me. That's hee-haw for y'all. I watched all 724 episodes. But isn't that who we meet? That people that are out of church and out of the will of God, they're not happy. They're not happy how their children are turning out. They're not happy how their marriages turn out. They're not happy how God's been to them. They're not happy about this. And I'm telling you, I just talked to somebody not too long ago. They said, preacher, we're just trying to make it. What do you say to somebody like that? Well, we are too. Maybe we'll get there one day. Well, I'm not that way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved, but I also, too, I don't want to... And by the way, I'm a miserable enough person on my own. I don't need your help. Amen? I'm just being honest. I can discourage myself quicker than you can anyway. Right? And I can have my own... I bring my own cake and own punch to my own pity party all the time. But listen, here's the thing is that when I just begin to think of the goodness of God... And begin to think of where my life was and where it is now, and that all the victories that He has given me, why should I be over here discouraged? The problem is there's people that never got out of the boat over here. That's why they're discouraged. They've never seen any victory in their Christian life. They've been saved 642 years, and they've never seen God work. Well, we sit at home all the time. Never go to church, never read our Bible, never pray, and God never blesses us. Well, yeah. Why should He? If my kids didn't act like my kids, I wouldn't bless them either. Hello? If my kids acted like they belonged to somebody else, you know what I say? Let somebody else bless them. Let them come to your house. You bless them. You feed them. But I'm glad I got kids and I have a relationship with my kids that I want to bless my kids. Why? Because they belong to me and because they're trying to do the best they can for their father and their mother. But listen, we ought to do the best we can for our Heavenly Father. Why? Because He encourages us to live a life of victory. God never comes to you and goes, now you better slow down. You're having too good of a victory on this one. God never comes to us and discourages us. There's never been a time where God's come to Michael Wiggins and said, I don't think you're going to make it. Never one time has my God ever came to me and said, I don't think you're going to make it. You're not preaching material. God's never come to me and said, hey, I don't think you're going to make a good father. No, here's what God says. He says, through my word, I'll make you a good father. Through my word, I can make you a good husband. Through my word, I can make you a good Christian. Why? Because I want to conform into the image of Christ, which this is the mirror we look into. This is the rule book in which we read. Hey, listen, I had a visit last night that was amazing because you know what? The visit was like this. She says, what's the Bible say? I said, well, hallelujah. Finally, I spent an hour going through Baptist distinctives. I told her, I said, really, ma'am, they're not Baptist distinctives. It's just the Word of God. She said, well, the place we go to never opens the Bible. She said, the only time they open the Bible is to read the Lord's Prayer. Some of you get where I'm coming from. She said, and then the man in the dress gets up there and go home. She said, man, I was excited last night. My wife can tell you. She said, somebody gave me a Bible and I began to read it. She said, I'm in Leviticus. First of all, I was going, hallelujah. You made it that far? Most Christians ain't made it that far in their Bible reading. She's like, and I'm finding out who Christ is. And I said, you know, the picture of Christ in the Old Testament is in the sacrifices. Because in the New Testament, He's our Lamb. And she's like, I'm telling you, I love visits like that. I don't like the visits like, what do y'all got for the kids? Well, man, we believe in, I don't care what you believe in, what do you got for the kids? What do you got for my husband? Get him out of my hair. I haven't had a visit like that, but I'm just hypothetically speaking. I said hypothetically speaking. So, here's the thing. He said, Joshua, do according to this, and I'll do according to this. Whew. Thank you, Lord. He encourages us. Let me give you the last thing. He equips us for victory. He equips us for victory. Man, I could preach so good if I felt good tonight. Man, I feel it in my bones, but it's just my body's not letting it come out yet. The Lord told Joshua that victory depends on him obeying the Word of God. But here's the thing. He equipped Joshua. You ever think about this? Now, if you read the book of Joshua, there's not really a time where it gives his age until he dies. You do a little backtracking, you can kind of figure out maybe that he was 40 years old, that whenever they were led into the wilderness and then he went through the wilderness, maybe he was 80. Maybe he was 60 to 80 years old. We don't really know. There's just people that guess. We know how old Joshua was. Whenever he had spied out the land, it said that he was 40 years old. But we know that Joshua was probably older. But anyway, you think about how he had spent, let's say he just spent 20 years in Egypt in slavery. Let's say that he spent 40 years in the wilderness, so now he's 60 years old. Let's just say in bare minimum that he's 60 years old. Think of all the things that Joshua saw, that Joshua was being prepared to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Think of when Joshua was... Now, by the way, you studied the Joshua. His first name, if you go back and read in Numbers, it was Hosea, which means salvation. That's what his original name meant. Then they changed it. Moses changed his name to Joshua, or Jeshua, which means Jesus in Greek. But Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. Hello. So his name was even a picture of Christ. Him being a picture of Christ, that he was able to do what the law could not do. Moses being a picture of the law, Joshua being a picture of the grace of God and leading them into the life of fulfillment. So here's the thing. How did he equip Joshua? How did he equip Joshua? Well, if you study that he was the son of Nun. That son of Nun, if you study that back, that means that Joshua, it tells us that he was the firstborn. When he was in Egypt, remember they had to kill the firstborn? Joshua had faith, didn't he? In God already, because he escaped that, because God was with him already. Can you imagine all those plagues hit and none of them affected the children of Israel? Isn't that amazing? How God protected them. Joshua saw that. Joshua was there on the brink of the river when Moses held out the rod and the water went. And Joshua was the one who walked across on dry land. Joshua was the one that turned back and saw the Egyptian army coming and Pharaoh coming. And God closed the sea again. Joshua saw that. Joshua was there when the waters of Mar were turned sweet by that tree limb that fell in there, that was placed in there. He saw the water come from the rock. And as Pastor says all the time, it wasn't a little water hose, a spigot that come out of that rock. It was a river of flowing water that Joshua saw with his eyes. He saw when Moses went up into that mountain of Sinai and it began to thunder and lightning up there, and he began to see Moses when he come down. By the way, Joshua was the only one that stayed with the tabernacle. He stayed there and protected it, and he stayed in there and worshiped while the other ones were over there having a good time and having a party. Joshua stayed faithful to the Lord because he was able to see when Moses began to walk down Mount Sinai. He saw the glory of God on the face of Moses. Joshua saw whenever the children of Israel were hungry and the manna fell from the sky. Joshua was there whenever all of the miracles took place. He saw that during the day they didn't get sunburned. Why? Because God put a cloud over them. I'm sure there was a lot of whining during those days, because one of the key words in the book of Exodus is murmuring, which means to whine. Or if you look it up, it means Baptist. Right? I is one. So, but can you imagine at night they're going, well, how are we going to see to travel? God said, turn the light on. Fire by night. You ain't got to be scared of the dark. Why? Because God provided it. Joshua, as the book of Deuteronomy tells us, that their shoes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell, their clothes didn't wear out. How that happened? That was God. Joshua walking around with the same suit of clothes on, I said that backwards, for 40 years, and looked at it and go, this is nice. 40 years later, I can take this one 4 years later and go, I need to throw this thing in the trash. Why? Because God told him, I'll be with you. Joshua saw that. By the way, study it out. 12 spies, right? Go out to a spy the land. They go in there. 10 of them come back and say, we can't do it. There's no way. Joshua and Caleb come back and say, we got this. You know what God was doing? He was preparing him. He was equipping him. Can I just give you a little freebie? Joshua had already been in the promised land. He already saw what was there. He had to just wait 40 years to get there. Why? Because God was equipping him. Listen to me, and I'm going to end with this. There's a lot more there. But some of us sometimes think, why do I have to go through this in my life? Because God's equipping you. Sometimes, I've heard this saying, you write this down, it's a good one. God's either whipping you or equipping you. The reason you're going through something is because He's whipping you or He's trying to equip you. I don't know about you, I'd rather Him equip me than whip me. Amen. Many years ago, after I left Heritage the first time, I went to Bilebattery, Alabama, and I was helping at a church there, and my cousin was pastor, and I was trying to get a job because those are pretty important apparently to the wife, so I went to the Great Southern Wood Preserving, and was trying to apply for a job there to treat lumber and things like that. And so, and they had a night shift, which I wanted because I was helping the church during the day. And so I worked the night shift. So I got the job. Hallelujah. I got the job. And the guy said, here's what I'll pay you and all this stuff. And I said, hallelujah, I'm ready to go. He said, well, you got to go through 2 days of training. I said, well, that's probably pretty good, being as I'll be around heavy equipment, lumber, things like that. What he didn't tell me, it was 2 days of watching videos. Well, I watched the first one. And then me and the other guy that was hired at the same time figured, nobody's in here with us. We'll call it nap time. I mean, those were the most boring videos. The videos were made back in the 70s. And it was like, but here was the thing, is that 2 days on the job, some things happened out on the yard that I didn't know how to handle because I didn't watch video 4. I found out later it was video 4. I didn't know there was a video 4. I could tell you what's on video 1. But see, I missed the equipping. I missed the preparation part. And because of that, it almost cost me my job. Matter of fact, it almost cost another man his life because of not taking the right safety precautions at work. Listen, in our life, we may not understand why God's taken us through these valleys and taking us through these struggles and taking us through this. But can I say, maybe God's trying to equip you for something greater, for a life of victory. Listen, every day is not victory. I understand that. Not every day is a day where we go, woohoo. But we ought to always be working toward victory. We should never set out to say, well, the Lord can't do that. When the angel came to Mary, the Virgin Mary, and Mary was with child, Mary was going to be with child, and here's what the scripture says, that with God, all things are possible. By the way, outside of God, that didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to Joseph. It didn't make sense to those around them. But you know who it made sense to? It made sense to Mary. You know why? Because God had prepared her for that time. For such a time as this, we are living in the greatest time, I believe, ever, because we are living in an apostate world today. By the way, people don't know nothing about this anymore. I'm learning that more and more. You ask people, well, do you know? I don't have a clue. It's just astounding. And maybe God has been equipping us. Listen, I spent four years of my life in Bible college. Did I go through that and say, I got it all figured out? No. That was just a little of the preparation work. God sent me through 9 years of pastoring, 2 years of evangelism, just so I could be an associate pastor at Heritage Baptist Church. Y'all see how much trouble y'all are? You see how long it took me? No. But God taught me a lot of things. And by the way, I don't look back at those times when I pastored and go, boy, that was a mistake. I look at it and say, man, that was a blessing because I'm still using those things today that I learned back then. Listen, God makes no mistakes tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Maybe God's trying to equip you for victory. Let's stand tonight. Brother Chad's going to come lead us in an invitation tonight. And we'll turn to Him 167, just as I am after I pray. Our Father, we do love You. We thank You for Your goodness to us. And Father, I thank You that You, Lord, encourage us, equip us for victories every day of our life. You also assure us of those victories, that we can live in victory. But we don't have to live defeated and discouraged lives. Lord, help us to rise above those circumstances with Your grace and Your strength. Father, I ask You to bless tonight. If there's somebody here tonight, they're just going through a storm. Maybe they're going through some great trials. Lord, realizing that You're maybe just equipping them to do something greater in victory just around the bend. Lord, I pray that You let Your Holy Spirit tonight speak to everyone here, every heart. May You get all the glory from what was said, what was done tonight. We love You, Lord. We ask You in Christ's name. Amen. In 167.